It may seem that this question is insignificant because you are young, but it does not matter if you are young, middle-aged, or old. The question is an urgent question. It is a must question. It is imperative to ask, to not ask. The question has not only dire and dangerous consequences now, but there are eternal consequences. Now, you know, before you can ask this question, you've got to know that you have a need. You've got to know that you have a need. The miraculous salvation of Paul and Silas, as you see, brought to the Philippian jailer his awareness of his own need for salvation. He cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, that's bitter and sweet. I'm digressing here for a minute. It's bitter and sweet when a person does not know they need to be saved. They're in a bad place. But it is also a joy in knowing the place that you were once you are saved. That's why believers ought to have joy knowing where God found them. But this man knew that all was not well with his soul. He knew that something was missing spiritually in his life. Some of you know that your life is all messed up. You know something is missing. But you keep going merrily on your way to some place. If you would just stop for a minute and survey your life, you will know, if you are honest with yourself, what is missing. You will know if you need salvation or if you have already been saved. Now, I need to tell you that just because you were baptized and you are a member of a church does not mean you are saved. Baptism does not save you. Placing your name on a church roll does not save you. And I want you to know that coming to grips with this need is not easy. You see, in ordinary situations, denial, ego, pride, and the claim to be a private person often hinders and prevents us from admitting, revealing, and confronting our need. You know, a drunkard or an alcoholic won't admit that they have this need because of pride, ego, self-sufficiency. There are also hindrances, attempts to roadblock us from coming to know our own spiritual need for salvation. There is one, you see, who seeks to usurp God's creation. Satan is active today in the world claiming creation. He hinders men from realizing their need to be saved. For some, they cannot get past the stumbling block of money and materialism. For some, he puts in their path the roadblock of apathy. For others, it is education and professionalism. And I need you to know that professionalism takes a back seat to Christianity. I would rather be a Christian than to be a professional. Because Christianity will leave professionalism in the dust. Stumbling blocks. For many, it is self-righteousness. And there are those who in hypocrisy believe they have plenty of time to be saved. Some, the devil gives the spirit of rebellion. And still others, a foolish mind, they say there is no God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, he does so by blinding the eyes of men from Christ. And then sin itself also hinders us. You know, sin's not all bad in terms of feeling. Y'all know that, don't you? You know, them margaritas taste pretty good. How many of you, margarita tastes good? Come on, come on. Come on. It's more than y'all than that. Until they get so good and you get three or four of them. Sin itself also hinders us. Hebrews says sin deceives us. Everything good is not good for you. Y'all heard that before, haven't you? Uh-huh. You see, we are faced with the hindrances of Satan and sin, but also according to Jeremiah 17:9, our own heart deceives us. We think we are right, but we are completely wrong. I guess I need to make this real. You know, some of y'all, when y'all were 18, 17, 16, even this little girl that's 11 years old ran off to Mexico with a man 33 years old. Cause, you know, y'all at 16, you know, you had him, her, and that was the one. I mean, you were so in love. You'd sneak out the back window. Had to get to him. Let him in the back window. Couldn't live without him. Y'all remember that, don't you? Your heart said you loved him. Yeah. Or her. Ready to jump off the cliff. And today you're with somebody else and you don't even remember that name. Jeremiah says, our own heart deceive us. We think we're in love, and there's nothing to it. We think we are right, but we are completely wrong. We think we are going in the right direction, but we are going in the wrong direction because our heart is deceitful. As human beings, we are not as independent as we like to think we are. We are frail and fragile creatures with a lot of needs. We are some high maintenance creatures. We are. We have physical needs. Emotional needs, social and material needs. But make no mistake about it, our greatest need is spiritual salvation. This is what the Word of God says about man. All of us are sinners. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says that we are all sinners and we are all spiritually lost. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you do not have Christ, you are eternally lost. To those who are lost, the Bible says this. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The need to be saved is real. Now is the time. It is a personal decision that every person must make. Well, secondly, if you have realized the need to be saved, I need to tell you there is a way. The jailer knew there was no hope. That is why he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? So that he might find hope. It does not matter, however, what you have done. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter where you've been. There is hope. All you've got to do is ask the question. And I need you to know that it's not complicated. It's not sophisticated. It's simple, precise, and effectual. Verse 31 of Acts chapter 16 tells us all how to be saved. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's not complicated, is it? Isn't that what the book says, those of you who are still there? You don't have to be in a certain church. You don't have to be wearing a certain type of clothing, working on a certain type of job, having a certain education, come from a certain family, be of a certain race. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. You could have been in prison for 50 years and just got out today. You can be a murderer. Moses was a murderer. You can be an idolater. David was an idolater. You can be a liar like Abraham. There's hope. You just got to know what your need is and ask the question. This is what the Bible says. And the Bible, my brothers and sisters, is the word of God. So this is what God says a man must do to be saved. God wants to save you. That is why he sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did for you what you could not and cannot do for yourself. And that is the meaning of Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not of works lest any man should boast. Yes, God did it. And he did it not because he was under obligation, but because he wanted to save you. God did it. But how did he do it? God gives you the opportunity to be saved through his son, Jesus Christ. This thought is so simple yet so profound that many men simply cannot wrap their finite minds around this truth. That God, being God, could so love man that he himself would become flesh and be born in a lowly manger, walk among men as a mere mortal, and then allow man that which he created to beat him, scorn him, ridicule him, nail him to a cross, lift him high, curse and spit on him until he hung his head in the lock of his shoulder and died, buried for 3 days. And on the third day morning, he is resurrected to life and claims all power in heaven and earth. Man has trouble grasping this act of redemptive love by God. Some reject it as foolishness and far-fetched, but God did it. And that is exactly how he did it. His name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I don't know about you, but I'm a living testimony. I was the chief of sinners. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is God's sacrifice for sins. Jesus Christ is God's gift of salvation. Jesus Christ is the living Savior and Lord. There is hope. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Anybody here have believed in him, or you a witness that salvation comes through Jesus Christ? I need to tell you, God does not force anyone to accept the gift of salvation. You must want to be saved. It is a personal decision that requires repentance. Repentance is turning around, a changing of the mind. Repentance is an act of the will, knowing that you have sinned, sorry for your sin, and you willingly turn from your sin to God through Jesus Christ for salvation. This is all done trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, for it is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ that you are saved. You can't hang anything else on it. You can't work for it. You can't go join this church or that church. You can't go down in the water and come back up and receive salvation. Salvation comes through faith and faith alone in one person, Jesus Christ. Faith in him alone. Don't you know that's why people get mad when you start talking about Jesus? It's because he is the only way to God. He said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul one day, and he wrote in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, saying, neither is there salvation in any other except in Jesus Christ. It is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. Faith is believing that Jesus the Christ lived and that he died for your sins and that he was buried and rose from the grave. This belief brings one to surrendering their life to him and through him receiving new life, everlasting life, eternal life, abundant life. Upon believing, you are to confess Jesus Christ before men. Romans 10 verse 9 says that you ought to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God have raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. I tell you, you got to confess without fear. You got to confess without shame. You got to boldly come before men and confess Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, listen, I'm ashamed of a lot of stuff that I've done. I've done some dirty, dastardly deeds in my past, but there is one thing that I'm not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I tell you, confess being unashamed of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins. You ought to rejoice now in salvation and be glad because God has given you the gift of eternal life. Your sins have been forgiven. You now have a new name. I'm a child of God. You got a new way of walking now. You don't walk like you used to walk. You have a new talk. You don't talk like you used to talk. And above all of that, when this life is over, you've got a new home awaiting over in glory. I tell you, what must I do to be saved? I'm glad that long time ago I asked that question of myself, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord set me free from my sins, and now I walk with him and I talk with him, and he tells me I am his own. Yes, everything is not right. I gotta go through the valley sometime, but Jesus is there with me. I gotta go up on the mountaintop sometime, but Jesus is there with me. He's telling me to be of good courage and of good cheer. Have you received the gift of salvation? Have you received it? Listen, if you haven't been saved, God has made it so simple. So simple. I just don't understand why a person would reject the gift of salvation. God did for you what you couldn't and can't do for yourself. And he says, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to go anywhere. All you've got to do is just believe on the name of Jesus Christ. What? How much simpler can it be? It's more complicated for you to get up from your seat and go out to your car and put your key in it. Salvation, it's free. Jesus has made it available. Don't make it any harder than it is. When you share the gospel, don't make it harder to those whom you are sharing it with. It is a simple act of faith. It is the faith of a little child. You know, I need to say something to some parents here. Some parents say, you know, their children want to come and confess faith in Jesus Christ. And it may be that they see somebody get baptized, but if you sit there and you talk to them and you ask them, listen, now why do you want to be baptized? This is why you should want to be baptized. You know, God sent his son into the world to die for our sins because we are all sinners. Do you believe that? If they say, yeah, I believe that. Do you believe that he died for your sins? Yeah, I believe that. Do you believe they buried him and that he rose from the grave? Yeah, I believe that. That's all. That's it. That's it. Who are you to question that child? You don't know what the Spirit of God is doing in that child's life. And sometimes parents refuse to let their children step out on faith on that confession, and they leave that point in their life and they never come back to it. Never come back to it. And it is a childlike faith that we are saved. What does it take to believe? You went and sit on that bench. Did you look up under it to see if it had legs on it? Did you see if it wasn't sawed in different places up under? You went and put your faith in it and you just sit down. Yeah. You believed it would hold you. And that's what God says that we have to do to receive salvation. And I need to tell you this. I know that everybody in here this morning is not saved. I know that. But you can be saved. There is not a reason for you not to receive God's gift. Just open your heart and receive God's gift of salvation. There are others listening to me. You are not saved. You, wherever you are, you just ask God to save you. Confess to him that you believe that you are a sinner. And then get up and let him take control of your life. I said there is hope, and there is, as long as you got breath, there is hope. But how long will you have that breath? Can anybody tell me? You don't know. I don't know. And so that's the urgency. Accept God's gift right now. You mean you're going to let a little something like coming here confessing hinder you from receiving the riches of Christ Jesus? You're going to let him sitting there looking at you, listening to you, prevent you from accepting God's marvelous gift of salvation? You're going to let the devil that's whispering in your ear right now saying you got plenty of time? You've been going to church all these years. The folk think you saved. You just... And you're going to get up and go down there and say you're not saved? You're going to let the devil hinder you and stop you from receiving God's greatest blessing? As the invitation has been rendered, if you're here, if you have not been saved, if you've not accepted God's offer, accept it today. Don't delay. Don't put it off any longer. Won't you come? Would you stand while the invitation's been rendered? And if you're here, we invite you to come. Thank you.